As we come to your word, we pray that you would help us to find you there, that we would find your heart and that we would adopt it. Lord, that you would change us from the inside out. Lord, that you would grant us that we might have your desires. Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to assemble in the name of your Son. And we ask that you would be honored by what we do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we started a series in the book of 1 Timothy. And if you have your Bible and would like to follow along, that's where we'll be today, is 1 Timothy. We pointed out that in the Bible, there are a number of books. There are 66 books in the Bible. After Jesus came, there were 27 that were written that we call the New Testament. And within the New Testament, there are a number of letters that people wrote, mostly that apostles wrote. They would write a letter to a church, a whole church, sometimes to an individual. And these letters were special letters because the Holy Spirit was upon that apostle so that whatever it was he wrote, well, was the words of God. We call that inspiration, the belief that the Holy Spirit oversaw the process of the apostle writing the letter. And the apostle, he didn't just fall into a trance and write like this, but rather he used his own background, personality, style, and yet somehow the Holy Spirit utilized that to produce the words of God. And there's a letter that the apostle Paul wrote to a younger man named Timothy. And this younger Timothy was left by Paul. He went on a mission. They traveled around a lot together. They went to different churches. They taught him stuff. They encouraged him. And they were at this church called Ephesus in kind of what's modern-day Turkey, on the west side of modern-day Turkey. And sounds like maybe Timothy was like, all right, time to go. And Paul said, no, I want you to stay in Ephesus. I'm going to go over to Greece and visit the churches there. You stay in Ephesus, and you have a job to do. While you're in Ephesus, your one major job is to command people not to teach false doctrine, not to teach any different doctrine, right? Doctrine that emphasizes things other than the special work that we have from God. And so Timothy stayed. That was his job. And that's what we looked at last week. This week, Paul kind of picks up right where we left off. He gave Timothy a charge, a command. He says, here's your charge, Timothy. This is your command. This is what I want you to say. And the charge was, stop teaching different doctrine. That's why he was there. That's what he was supposed to say. He says, now the aim of our charge, what charge is that? The stop teaching different doctrine charge, the one that we were talking about last week. If you look in the previous verses there, you'll find it. The aim of our charge, the goal of our careful doctrine charge is love. So the charge is very significant. It has a goal, right? It has an aim, and the aim of this charge is love. Okay? That's what we're shooting at. We didn't leave you there just so that, just because we didn't want anybody to have different ideas than we have. There's an outcome. And so today we want to look at this idea and break it apart a little bit. Why is sound doctrine important? Why focus on it? I mean, why do I spend hours every week studying and then preach to try to clarify little nuances of doctrine to you? Why are there whole seminaries and schools where people study doctrine? Why do we encourage you, read your Bible and underline and highlight and record and think about it and digest it and memorize it? Why is sound doctrine important? Does it really matter? We live in a day and age where people don't think it does matter, by and large. A few basics maybe. We all kind of believe in Jesus and that's good enough. But according to Paul, man, doctrine was really important. By the way, the word doctrine just means teaching. Two different words for the same. Doctrine is just teaching. So a set of teaching. If you have a math book, it's a doctrine about how to do math. If you have a science book, it's a doctrine about how to do science. So Paul tells Timothy, you're going to stay there. You're going to tell people, don't teach any different doctrine. Only teach the right doctrine. And the reason we give you this charge is love. You follow? And then he's going to say, love comes from three things. A pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Okay? So the goal of doctrine is love. Love comes from three things: a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. Now, the sad thing is, though, certain persons in Ephesus, he's going to name some of them later, certain persons swerved away from these three things and have wandered into discussions desiring to be teachers of the law even though they don't know anything about it. All right? So, certain persons, they wandered away, and that wandering away was based on their desire for something. That's where we're going. Good so far? Okay. Point number one, sound doctrine, sound teaching produces love. That's the goal. Sound teaching produces love. Sound teaching. Now, when I come to this, I ask, well, what is sound teaching? I'm getting that from the previous verse, right, where he says that people are teaching other kinds of teaching, and that's the whole problem. You're supposed to tell them not to teach other kinds of teaching, but only the sound teaching, only the good stuff. Now, I want to know, when we talk about sound doctrine, sound teaching in Timothy, are we talking about just a certain set of teaching? Are we talking about the whole Bible? What are we talking about? There are a few verses that shed some light on this. Chapter 1, verse 4, at the end of the verse, he calls it the stewardship that is from God by faith. So don't teach different teaching. We need to be emphasizing the stewardship that is from God by faith. Well, what is that? As we keep going, in chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So whatever the teaching is, it's going to include the good news, the gospel, which in the Bible, in the New Testament, always refers to that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and that you can have salvation through that. So it's got to include the gospel if it's going to be the good teaching, the stuff that's going to be emphasized. as we go through 1 Timothy, if we go to chapter 4, verse 6 in 1 Timothy, he says, if you put these things before the brother, the things I've been telling you, if you put these things before the brother, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. So, the faith, there's faith, which is a belief that you have, a conviction that you have, and then there's the faith, which is the set of beliefs that the apostles passed down, right? And he says, you've been trained in the words of the faith, the received beliefs, the doctrines, the theologies, Timothy. And you have followed them. But perhaps the clearest description of what Paul says when he says, don't emphasize other teaching, only the good teaching comes at the very end of the book when he summarizes everything in chapter 6, verse 20. Okay, so he gets to the end of it all and he finishes where he started. He says, O Timothy, guard the deposit that was entrusted to you. He pictures it like he gave Timothy some money to keep track of, but it's not money. He says, guard the deposit that was entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Okay, so people, they're always going to want to talk about things. The people in Timothy's church, they were getting sidetracked by all kinds of things, and they called it knowledge. It was good. It was important. We need to know more. We need to be enlightened. He says, avoid that stuff. For by it, some people have swerved from the faith. And if you back up to chapter 6, verse 3, he gives Timothy this kind of final exhortation. If anyone teaches a different doctrine, a different teaching, a different set of ideas that does not agree with, so now we're going to get what it should agree with, right? So if anyone teaches a different doctrine and it doesn't agree with these two things, that does not agree with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and that accords with godliness, teaching that accords with godliness. So the teaching that should be going on is going to be consistent with the teaching of Jesus, and it's going to be the kind of teaching that lines up with godly living. Right? So if you get a kind of teaching and it doesn't result in godly living, it could be that your teaching is defective. Okay? Or in other words, the right kind of teaching winds up with godly living. Love. Okay? So there is a doctrine in Timothy. Doctrine or teaching is understood and it's believed, but it's also lived. And when you live out good teaching, good doctrine, the result is love. And that's very important. It agrees with the rock-solid words of Jesus, and it lines up with godliness. So back to our point, the goal of teaching then, of the good teaching, the kind of teaching that accords with godliness and the words of Jesus, the goal of that kind of teaching is to produce love. The goal of not teaching bad teaching, the goal of Timothy staying there so he can say, hey, you, stop it. You, don't teach that. The whole reason is love. Imagine if there are a group of scientists and it's their mission to get to Mars. Right? There are, I don't know, 40, 60, 80 of them, and that's their mission, and they're studying all the things you would need to know to get to Mars, astrophysics and molecular biology and all kinds of very important science, so they can get it all in line over the course of several years and get to Mars. And there's one scientist, and he's teaching another group of scientists, and he says, yeah, that's that book, but I've got my own book of my own science. And in his book of science, he's got kind of some folk tales, and he's got some mythology and some theories he came up with himself that seem interesting but are not proven. And some people start to kind of buy into his science. And the head scientist might come in and say, listen, man, you've got to stop. Don't teach that stuff. Why? His feelings would be hurt. He says, what, is my science not good enough for you? He says, no, it's just that we have a goal. We're trying to get to Mars. And if you teach bad science, we're not going to get there. It's going to produce a bad rocket. Right? You've got to stop because we have a goal. We have a goal. The aim of our stop teaching different doctrine charge is love. It's the intended outcome. It's the goal. This means we're not interested in sound doctrine just for the sake of itself, right? Just so that we can be smart. Just so that we can draw lines in the sand and say we're right and you're wrong. We're not interested in sound doctrine just because it makes us feel enlightened. We're interested in sound doctrine because it's a means to an end, and the end is love. I'm going to use another whiteboard this morning. We need two. It's too heavy. That's a guy. Just so you know. That's the extent of my artistic talent right there. So if we have an input and we have an outcome, the input is good teaching. And you understand, when I say good teaching, I don't mean like a good teacher. I mean the set of teachings is good. The set of ideas that we're believing and agreeing and practicing, they're good, right? So we have good teaching, and somehow good teaching has a desired outcome, right? A goal. The Greek word is telos, the end, like the word telescope. The goal of our teaching is love. So here's the input, good teaching. The outcome is love. Right? That's the goal. And so I think, well, how does this happen? Point number two, solid teaching changes the inner person. Solid teaching changes the inner person. And I suppose we could say it this way, all teaching changes the inner person. Solid teaching changes the inner person the right way. Okay? So he says, the goal of the charge is love, and the love comes from three sources: a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Okay? So I go, well, doesn't the love come from the good teaching, if that's the goal? Kind of, but it's roundabout. So it says, it comes from, first of all, a pure heart. A pure heart, which leads to love. Right? Sound teaching somehow informs this pure heart. And so we'll do it this way. You get teaching, and it comes in here. Right? It comes in through the ears usually. And then somehow that makes some kind of inner change. Right? It transforms the inner person such that you wind up with a pure heart. And the pure heart then leads to love. Understanding God's truth produces a clean heart, which produces love. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10 says, how can a young man keep his way pure, keep his life pure? Then it says, by taking heed according to your word. The young man keeps his way pure, his heart pure, by taking heed according to God's word. He says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments, the psalm says. Right? So I'm seeking you with my whole heart. Don't let me get too far from your commandments. How can I keep my way pure? By taking heed according to your commandments. Sound teaching is not directly concerned with your actions. It is concerned ultimately with your actions. We're saying love is action. Love isn't just a feeling. In the Bible, when you read love, love has legs. Love does stuff. Love acts lovingly. If it doesn't, it's not love. Love includes godliness. Right? Or the person who is living lovingly is godly. It's active. But good teaching, the job of good theology is not expressly to correct your actions, it's to change your heart. The goal of good teaching is not directly to change your actions, it's to change your heart. You could use it backwards. You could take the teaching of the Bible and apply it directly to actions, and you might get some reform in your life, but it wouldn't last. It wouldn't be genuine. Right living, good, loving living comes from a changed heart, and a changed heart comes from understanding God's Word and meeting Him in the truth of the Word. See, Jesus said, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. For out of the heart come all kinds of evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are the things that defile a man. So if you're over here and what's coming out of your heart is bad, well, that's because it's coming out of your heart. Right? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We all start with a dirty heart, and we have a heart problem. And it's the teaching of God's Word is transforming the inner man, and then you get love. You can't skip this and keep your dirty heart and move straight from good teaching to love. Won't work. Who gets to know God? Who gets to see God? Who gets to experience God? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Right? You can't skip this step. You want to see God. You want to experience and know God. There has to be a transformation of the heart. Jesus told Nicodemus, look, unless you're born again, that is, unless there's a transformative work inside you, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Can't happen. So good teaching is absolutely necessary for the transformation of the inner man, your heart, the seat of your desires, the real you. Now, love comes from a good conscience. A good conscience. So understanding God's truth leads to a good conscience, which leads to love. Paul mentions conscience to Timothy on a number of occasions in this letter. Talks to Timothy about having a good conscience in chapter 1, verse 19. When he's telling about who you should pick for deacons, he says they should hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience in chapter 3, verse 9. See, the conscience, your conscience is one of those non-physical parts of who you are, and its job is to compare what you're doing with what you believe about what's right and wrong. Right? So the conscience is only as good as you train it to be. Right? You can have a conscience that functions pretty well and it says, no, that's wrong, and yes, that's right, and you should be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that, but if you've trained it wrong, it's going to lead you down the wrong path. For instance, today there are many people in the world who say, this is good and right and loving, and it's not. And their conscience tells them, no, it's good, it's right, it's loving, because they've mistrained their conscience. But if you have good teaching, and the good teaching gives you a good conscience. It tells you what really is right and what really is wrong. then you can really compare your own life to that. Your conscience really will tell you, hey, that's wrong. You can trust it. It is wrong. Hey, that's right. You can trust it. It is right. If you have a bad conscience, then you're going to tend to affirm bad things and feel bad about good things. There are examples of these in the Bible. Sometimes people felt bad about things that were neutral. They felt guilty about doing things that really were not bad. And Paul says, now listen, listen to your conscience. You should. If your conscience says don't do it, don't do it. But also, let's train your conscience. Right? There are Christians who feel bad about playing cards. Right? Because they grew up in a place where cards were kind of associated with something bad and you weren't supposed to play with a deck of cards. If your conscience bothers you, don't play with a deck of cards. But on the other hand, if you go to God's Word and say, well, let's see, is it okay? Right? The thing that should always inform your conscience is right doctrine, good teaching. That's why it's so important that we go into God's Word, because our conscience is at stake. And when you get good doctrine, you're going to wind up with a good conscience. Right? And from that good conscience, you can act lovingly. So the goal of good teaching is love, but it's by way of transformation. So far, so good. And sincere faith. So the inner transformation continues. The goal of good teaching is love. Love by way of sincere faith. Love that comes from sincere faith. The word in the Greek is unhypocritical. Non-hypocritical faith. Okay? A hypocritical faith would be a faith that says it believes something but does something else. a faith that is mere talk, right? You see the book of James. The whole book of James is about that. You can have a faith that just kind of says a lot, but nothing ever happens from it. But a sincere faith is a faith that is a consistent faith. It comes from a sincere place, and therefore it winds up with sincere action. It's not just a religion you affiliate with. It's a real life-changing force that lives within you. It's a genuine, everyday, ongoing dependence on God Himself because of Jesus Christ. It's the consistent application of your faith to your life. Only when that's happening do you wind up with love. Now, the point of good teaching is love by way of inner transformation. This was true in the Old Testament, and it's true in the New Testament. How shall a young man keep his way pure? King David wrote, right, in the Psalms. How can a young man do that? Just by following the commands in the Old Testament? No. By the process of inner transformation. As that young man seeks God in his word, he finds God. And God reveals to him his sin and his need for salvation. And he depends on God for salvation. You can't just adjust behavior and be right with God. You can't just adjust behavior and end up loving. You have to have inner transformation. And so as that young man would seek God in Scripture, God would begin to change his heart. And the same process is true in the New Testament. When you and I, we go to Scripture and we search Scripture, when we revel in sound doctrine, when we're always going over it and going, what does it say? What did God reveal to us? What happens is God begins to change us on the inside. And of course, this starts and ends with the gospel, with the message that you are not good before a holy God, with the message that God sent his son Jesus to be your good. And he suffered and died in your place, paying for your sins. When you believe on that, well, then this process of inner transformation happens. And it's a work of God. He reaches into your heart and he flips a switch that gives you a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. But the process is through his word. The process is through truth. Namely, the truth of the gospel, but all of the truth of scripture begins to inform that ongoing process of transformation that then takes place in your life. You're being renewed. If that's happening in your life, then this week it can continue to happen. As you're in God's word, as you're in his gospel, as you're in his truth, then you're slowly, little by little, being remade on a daily basis, such that your heart is purified, because you don't start out that way, and such that your conscience is good and trained rightly to distinguish good and evil, and such that your faith is sincere, it's consistent, it's genuine, it's wholehearted toward God, and it manifests itself in action. Point number three, solid teaching must not be swerved from. To end a sentence with a preposition. Swerved from. He says, here's the problem, though. Certain people have swerved from these things, these three things. So there are some people that swerve from these things. And he already told us they're teaching something different. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions. Now, somewhere I had a red mark. There it is. It is possible to swerve from this process of inner transformation that is producing a different outcome that's not love. So it would be possible to come over here and have what Paul calls heterodoctrine, different doctrine, other teaching. Other teaching. And I suppose that if that happens, other teaching is coming in, and it's resulting in something different down here, right? You're getting an unclean heart, and a bad conscience, and not sincere faith, a hypocritical faith, right? Because the process has been short-circuited. And then I suppose what has to happen then is you arrive over here with something that's not love. Not love. If you go wrong here, the process of inner transformation has been short-circuited, and you wind up with, you're still living over here, but there's a reason. Through the whole book of 1 Timothy, Paul's going, there's sin, there's badness. People have they're acting like the world. And yet his solution is to go back to the teaching over and over again, to the doctrine over and over again. Fix the doctrine. Fix this, because your inner self needs to be transformed. And the problem with bad doctrine is usually it has a little bit of good in it, a little bit of truth in it, and you wind up with something that kind of looks like love, but isn't. And it'll pass for love, and people can say, look, I'm being loving. I'm being loving. You're going, yes, but you're being the sort of loving that's been informed by bad teaching, and it's not really love. And if the goal is love, it has to come by this avenue. The main roadblock to having a life that is characterized by love is when a competing desire causes you to swerve from the pursuit of God's transformative truth for something else. Notice, he says, they wander away, swerving, right? That's how they wander, and desiring. Desiring. Okay, they wander away from these three things because of some desire that's inside of them. And in their case, Paul names it. Their desire was to be teachers of the law. Okay? Not so that they could facilitate this process, right? Not so that they could take the Bible and say, let's get this inside of you and allow it to have its transforming work to make you a new creature as God works within you and he changes your heart, but rather, they wanted to sit on the seat of Moses and say, you're bad, you're good, no, yes, right, wrong, right? Their desire had something to do with prestige, something to do with power, something to do with the fun of telling people what to do. And so it was a desire that caused them to deviate from this process. And it's interesting that their teaching accommodated their desire. Right? They wanted something different, and so they ended up teaching something different. They wanted to be teachers of the law, and it says, by the way, it says, they didn't even know what they were talking about. Right? They wanted to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they were saying or the things about which they were making confident assertions. This is what the law says. No, it's not. They were wrong. But they wanted to be teachers. So there are desires that cause people to swerve away from the process of inner transformation. And in their case, it was a desire to be prestigious teachers in the church. In your case, or in my case, it might be something else, some other desire that would cause us to turn away from these things. This process, the good process, the green process, right? The process that has as its goal love is not always the flashiest, the most exciting. It's not always the one that's going to just grip people and make them say, wow, I'm signing up for that. Often, there's somebody else with a process that sounds more fun, more novel, more interesting. And yet what Scripture says is good doctrine is very important. It's very important because it changes who you're becoming. Not, it doesn't bypass you to get your the real you to get to your actions. It's making the real you. This is true whatever kind of teaching you're listening to. Good teaching or bad teaching, it's changing you on the inside. And that's why good teaching is so important. That's why we emphasize good teaching. As we go through 1 Timothy, I hope it will help us to say, you ever have people say, what church do you go to? You say, oh, Crossroads Church, and they say, what's with that church? Like, what's their thing? You know? I hope as we go through Timothy, we'll answer some of those questions for ourselves. And if we find something in Timothy and it's not our thing, I hope it becomes our thing. Right? But the big thing in 1 Timothy is doctrine. Doctrine. Teaching. Right theology. It's important. A lot of people, it's not popular nowadays. A lot of people say, well, that's stuffy. That's academic. We don't care. Well, doctrine can get that way real quick. But doctrine that's concerned with real transformation, man, that's living. Good stuff. And so that's key to who we are. That's what our goal is. Our goal is that we would be a loving church. That there would be a love that exists here that is just palpable. But not a weak, kind of sentimental, conjured up love. No, a love that's coming from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith in each one of these seats that happens through the good, solid teaching of God's Word. That's our goal. And so my application to you would be here. Be here regularly. Be here, be at Bible studies, be in each other's homes, and be concerned with the truth of God's Word. Tell each other the good news about Jesus again and again and again. Work through the doctrine together. This is a place where good, solid doctrine must continue to take place if transformation will continue to take place. Second is learn. Learning is the job of the learner. Teaching is the job of the teacher. I may do my job pretty mediocre sometimes, but your job is learning, right? So no matter who's teaching, some teachers are interesting and some teachers are funny and some teachers are captivating, but you can learn from any teacher if you get out your pen or if you focus your mind and you learn, right? I went to seminary and Bible college and I had some teachers that were just a joy to learn from and some teachers it was like eating, you know, salad, you know, you did it because it was good for you. But you had to work at it. And whatever the case, if our goal is to be involved in this, then so that this will result with this, none of this will make any sense on the recording, will it? another application, even though I'm out of time, is stay away from bad teaching. Stay away from bad teaching. And I don't mean don't go to any other churches or don't listen to any other pastors. I listen to other pastors and really appreciate them. But if you know that there's some errant teaching, just stay away from it. And any teaching that you come across, whether it's regarding your finances or your kids or whatever teaching that we're involved in, your first thought should be, how does this line up with God's Word? Right? I was reading C.S. Lewis this week, and he had a great thought, and I thought, man, that's awesome. I want to live by that. And then I thought, well, is that actually scriptural? Had to do some real thinking. I don't know. Last application is seek God through His Word. Right? We don't want to elevate the Bible apart from the person it points to. This is where we discover God Himself. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought, not your word, but you. Through your word, I have sought you. And so in this process, we meet God. God's teaching transforms your life, and you end up loving godly action, and you know God. You meet God. And so I encourage you, seek God through sound doctrine. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making sound doctrine available to us. Lord, thank you that it's not concerned primarily with just fixing our behavior, but with fixing our hearts and our conscience and our faith. And Lord, we pray that you would do that work in each one of us as only you can do, and that we would depend wholly on you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.